St. Luke chapter 9 and verse 57, it says this, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto him, and he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." You may be seated. Our Father, God in heaven, Lord, as we bow in your name tonight, Father, we're thankful to be able to stand on holy ground once more. Thankful, Lord, for your sweet spirit that we felt in abundance in this place tonight. Thankful, Lord, for the sweet testimonies that we've heard tonight. Thankful, Lord, for what we've heard that about what Jesus has done in people's lives. Thankful for the wonderful singing that we've heard tonight from these young ladies. Thankful, Lord, for these that have played tonight. God, we pray, Lord, that you'd honor them and bless them. Father, we pray now for the reading of your word. Father, we pray, God, that you'd help us. Father, we pray, Lord, that you'd preach through us the message, God, that you intend to have put out tonight. God, we pray, Lord, for one here under the sound of our voice, whether they be in the sanctuary, whether they be on the parking lot, whether they be in Facebook, or wherever they may be tonight. Father, we pray that you'd meet them right where they're at tonight. Lord, that you'd come out of heaven, and Lord, that you'd meet them at their need tonight. Father, we love you today. We praise you, give you glory and honor and praise and thanks. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Now, when you read the 62 verses, a big chapter there in St. Luke chapter number 9, but when you read those 62 verses there in Luke chapter 9, there's a lot happening. If you go down through those verses and you'll see that there's so much happening there, and it's kind of broke down into verse by verse, if you will, a few verses at a time, and you'll notice that the first six verses, you'll see that if you was to back up and read those first few verses there in Luke chapter number 9, you'll find that Jesus called out his disciples. He called the 12 out. And I want you to notice this tonight. If you was to go back and read those first six verses, you'll simply find that the Bible says that he gave them power and then sent them out to preach. Now you think about that, and I want to remind the preachers tonight, the young preachers that may be under the sound of my voice, wherever they may be tonight, I want you to know, if you step out here on your own, you're messing up. If you step out here without the power of God on your heart, on your life, you're messing up. But I want you to know tonight, it takes the power of God first and foremost, and then comes the ministry. You think about that tonight, and how we got the cart before the horse, if you will, a lot of times, and I'm afraid to say that there's too many that have been mommy called and daddy sent, and they're out here staggering and stumbling around, and they don't know which way's up, don't know which way's right, don't know which way's wrong. But it takes the power of God to overcome an individual, a man that should be called into the ministry to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now, you think about that and how we got to receive the power first and then be called out into the ministry and to begin to preach the Word of God. But you'll notice those are the first six verses of that chapter. And you'll notice in verses number 7 through verse 11, you'll find that that's where King Herod is beheading John. There's a lot that's happening in the Gospel of St. Luke chapter number 9. You'll find in verse 12 through 17 that Jesus fed over 5,000 men with two fishes and five loaves of bread. What a great miracle that Jesus done there that day. You'll find in verses 18 through 23, Jesus asked the disciples a question. He said, he was asking, who do men say that I am? And they spoke up and said, some say that you're a prophet that's been risen again. Some say that it was John the Baptist, and some say it was Elias. But Jesus asked the question. He said, well, who do ye say that I am? That's where Peter spoke up and said, thou art the Christ of God. And how that the Lord blessed him there that day because of that. He said that flesh and blood hadn't revealed that to him, but the Spirit of God revealed that unto Peter there that day. But you'll find in verse 24 through 27, you'll find that Jesus makes the statement. He says, if any man will follow after me, he must first deny himself and take up his cross and then follow after him. Now notice this, in verse 28 through 36, you'll find that this is where Jesus takes the inner three. He takes Peter and James and John, and he sails away by himself, if you will, with those three, and he goes up in the mountain apart, the Bible says, and that's where he is transfigured, and there he is in the presence of Almighty God himself, and there he is in the presence of Moses and Elijah. On the Mount of Transfiguration. There's a lot that's taking place in Luke chapter number 9. But I want you to notice this. In verse 37 through 44, Jesus comes back down off of the mountain, and immediately he begins to cast out demons out of a young man's life. You think about all that's taking place here in Luke chapter number 9. And then you'll find in verse 46 through 56, Jesus rebukes his disciples. Why? Simply because they're arguing among themselves who's going to be the greatest. My goodness, you think when Jesus rebuked them and how he brought them down to where they are, cut them down, if you will, and brought them down where they ought to be. Now notice this, in verse 57 through 62, in your hearing that we read to you tonight, you'll find that there are three men that wanted to follow Jesus. Now you notice, Jesus speaks to the one, and one comes to him and said, Lord, I will follow you. And Jesus spoke up and said, well, he said, the birds of the air, they have nests to go to and to stay in. And he said, the foxes have dens. But he said, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Do you know that that's the last time you hear about that man there? I never read, never find out where that man forsook all and followed after Jesus. I believe he said, that's enough. If there's no Motel 6 out there for me to lay my head in, I don't want no part of it. And we don't find where that man followed after Jesus. Right. So you think that, my goodness, you think commitment. And I believe that we can preach from now until the time Christ comes on commitment. What has happened to people's commitment? They're not committed to their family. They're not committed to their spouse. They're not committed to their job, let alone committed to the God of heaven tonight. What has happened to people's commitment? My goodness. It means absolutely nothing to them tonight.
Amen.
Then you think about this. You'll see where one says, let me first go bury my father. Jesus speaks up and says, let the dead bury their dead. And you'll find that there's one, in one of the Gospels, you'll find that there was one that said, I have married a wife. And then he says, therefore I cannot come. Now you think about that. Let me just say tonight, if you're listening, if you're here, if you're under the sound of my voice, you young ladies, you young men tonight, if you young ladies are interested in a young man, I believe you need to find yourself a good, godly young man that's dedicated, that's committed, that's devoted himself, being faithful to the house of God and serving the Lord. I believe that's the most important in any relationship. Now you think about it, it's the same. The same way for the young men. If you're interested in wanting to find a young lady, I highly recommend a good godly young lady that's faithful to the house of God. And be sure about this. Before you ever stand in front of the presence of your family and friends and in the presence of God and say, I do, make sure that you're on the same page. If her dreams are different than yours, if his dreams is different than yours, it's not going to work out. And if Christ is not centered in your relationship, it's not going to work. We've got to have Christ centered in our relationships. And my goodness, he ought to be first and foremost, personally, right here. It begins right here, personally. I've got to have Christ personally centered in my life. And then it's got to be centered in mine and Sarah's relationship. And mine and my kids' relationship as well. My goodness, how much better our relationships will be if we put Christ first in everything that we do. You think about it. My goodness. Now I want you to notice this. I want you to notice in verse number 57. The very first verse that we read there to you tonight. Notice what it says. It says, and it came to pass that as they went in their way. Would you agree with me tonight that when Luke said it, as they went in their way, would you agree with me tonight that they were moving as they went in their way?
Amen.
Now I want you to think about this, and perhaps you think about maybe one of these men that we read about, one of these three men that we read about, maybe the one that went back to bury his father. Or maybe the one there that said, let me just go back and bid my family farewell and the ones that are at my home farewell. What if they went this way and Jesus was going that way? They're headed in the wrong direction. Would you agree with me about that tonight? They're moving and headed in the wrong direction. But I want you to think about this. If Jesus is speaking to you tonight, if Jesus is calling you tonight, and Jesus is asking you to pick up your things and deny your own life and deny yourself and follow after me, but you say, I've got to go take care of this. I've got to do this. You've already missed it. Yeah. And I believe that Jesus is going to move on and somebody else is going to receive a blessing that He had for you. Now you think about that. But I thought about these men, and I want to preach tonight on this. It's simply, stay away from shortcuts. You think about that. And I'm going somewhere with this. And I thought about these men. I thought about maybe that man that went back and to bury his father. No doubt that he was perhaps from this town or this community right here. And he thought, well, I know that if Jesus gets down here away, I can go ahead and take care of my family. I can go ahead and bury my father. I know the back roads. I'll go around the back roads. I'll take the shortcut. And somewhere down the road, I'll catch up with Jesus. Oh, boy. You got to be careful. How many of you have just taken a shortcut? Let me ask you this. How many of you know that if you want to go over to Big Chimney over on 79, the shortest way is to go right on across Walker Drive here and cross Buzzard Rock and then cross whatever that other hill is, and it's shorter to get there. But let me just say this. The shortcut isn't always the best road to take. The shortest direction is not always the best road to get there. My goodness, if you go across Buzzard Rock and you cross whatever that other mountain's called over there, you better have chains on your tires. You better have about four or five spare tires. You better have about three donkeys and four or five. My goodness, it takes an act of Congress to get across that road over there. I've been across it. It's not the best road to take. It might be longer to jump on 77 and go into Charleston and then head back north on 79. It's going to be a little bit longer, but it's a lot better road. Amen. Let me just say this tonight. The road that Jesus leads you down, it's a lot better road than you going out here and finding a shortcut. Yeah. Let me take care of this. Let me do this. And then trying to catch up with Jesus. It's not going to work. Right. It's not going to happen. We need to stay away from shortcuts. And I believe this tonight. I believe there's three different things I want to point out and I want to show you. And then I'll be done. And I believe this. I believe that first and foremost, we cannot take shortcuts when it comes to receiving salvation. You think about that. We cannot take shortcuts when it comes to receiving salvation. You ever think about that? I thought about this. I thought there is more to salvation than just repeating a prayer and signing a confirmation card, if you will, and then somebody sending you on your way. And let me just say this. Jesus is not a get out of hell free pass. My goodness, you think what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, how He suffered and bled and died on your behalf and on my behalf. And my goodness, how a lot of times and so often we take things for granted and forget about what Jesus has done for you and forget about what Jesus has done for me. We can't take shortcuts. Let me just say this. If you ever intend to get to heaven tonight, you're going to go by through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus tonight. Let me say this. You're not going to get to heaven going through Allah. You're not going to get to heaven going through Buddha. You're not going to get to heaven going through Muhammad or Joseph Smith. But I want you to know tonight, if you ever make it to heaven tonight, you've got to go through and by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think about that? And how important it is for you to have a relationship with Jesus and for me to have a relationship with it's more than just a confirmation. We've got to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
More important than anything in my life is my relationship with Him.
Amen.
And His relationship with me. My goodness, you know, I thought about how people they want to bypass faith, if you will. And they want to bypass repentance. And they want to bypass being fully committed unto the Lord. You think about that. And how that they might go out here and they might get baptized. They might go down to the water hole somewhere and they might get baptized. But bypass Jesus. They might come up out of the water and pay their tithes, but bypass Jesus. They might pay their tithes and join the church somewhere, but bypass Jesus. You think Amen. About that. Yeah. They might join the church. They might work inside of the church. They might be committed to the church. They might be here every time the doors are open, but yet they're bypassing Jesus. Let me say this tonight. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, if the Holy Spirit of God does not live and dwell on the inside of an individual, he will not or she will not go to heaven tonight.
Right.
I'm convinced of that. We've got to go by the Spirit of God. We've got to go by the way of the Lord Jesus and His precious blood that He shed there on the cross of Calvary. What did He tell Nicodemus? What did Jesus speak to Nicodemus and tell him? He said, "Ye must be born again." It takes a new birth. It takes we've got to be reborn, if you will.
Right.
Got to be new, become new in Christ Jesus. My goodness, if we ever intend to get to heaven, we've got to go through and by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus tonight. And, you know, I thought about, I remember hearing a story one time about back in the days of slavery. I remember hearing about this old slave. He was down in the ditch. He was digging the ditch and he was working, had calluses and blisters on his hands, and he was working for the master that owned him. The master drove out on a white horse, and he had on all these nice and fancy clothes, this master did, and he drove out there, and he could hear the sound of somebody singing, and down in that ditch just working and slaving away was that slave, and he was singing, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins." And that master asked him, "So how in the world can you sing down in a pit and down in the ditch?" He said, you own absolutely nothing. He said, "You don't have a dime in your pocket. You don't have a home with windows over here that you can go to. You don't have you are absolutely nothing." And that man came up out of there, the slave came up, and he said, "Master," he said, "I'm not singing because of the things I've got here in this world, but I'm singing because of the things I've got over in the other world." And that man couldn't understand what that slave had. And he said, "I've been born again." He said, "I've been reborn. I'm a new man in Christ." And that man didn't understand what that slave was talking about. And he said, "Well, how did you get reborn?" He said, "Well, you've got to come down off that pretty white horse. You've got to go across that field. You've got to climb through that barbed wire fence. And you've got to wallow around in the muck and the mire with those hogs." And that man said, "Well, I'll go to hell before I do that." And the slave said, "Well, you help yourself." And he went on. That night, that master got to thinking about what that slave had told him, and he couldn't sleep. He thought, "Well, maybe I misunderstood." He went back out the next day. Sure enough, there was that slave down in that ditch, working, sweating, singing praises unto the Lord. And he said, "Well, how can you sing down in that pit that you're in?" He said, how do you have what you've got? He said, you've got to come down off of their doors, go across the field, climb through the fence, and walk around in that muck and mire with the hogs. And he said, well, I'll go to hell instead. He said, help yourself. The next day, the slave climbed up out of the ditch to get him a drink of water and looked, and there was a white horse tied to a tree. And he looked, going out across that field, about ready to climb through that fence. He said, hey, master, what are you doing? He said, I want what you've got. I need what you've got. I'm tormented. I can't sleep at night. He said, well, wait a minute. You don't have to wallow around in that muck and mire. He said, all you've got to do is just be willing to humble yourself and get down to the place where you realize that you need Christ.
Amen.
My goodness, you think. You know, when a man comes to Christ, when a woman comes to Christ, and the difference that he can only make in an individual's life. And you know what he told the disciples? He said, and remember when Jesus went into the town there that day, and the little kids, I can just see these little children running around and running up and grabbing Jesus by the leg and hugging, and those disciples rebuking them and turning them away. But remember, Jesus sat down and pulled them up to him. He said, unless you come as one of these, you'll not have nothing to do with me. And how we've got to humble ourselves and become a servant, if you will. You think, the King of Glory, Jesus, the Sovereign God of Heaven, became a lowly servant and came and served you and came and served me on the cross. Oh, bless His name. Now notice this. Not only shouldn't take shortcuts when it comes to salvation and concerning salvation, but I believe this tonight. I believe that we shouldn't take shortcuts when it comes to being faithful to the house of God.
Amen.
You think about that. How important it is. You know, there's something special when we can come together in the house of God. There's something special about being inside of the house of God.
Yeah.
It's altogether different. Now, I enjoy the services that we have out on the parking lot. I enjoy the services that we have underneath the tent. But I'm telling you, there is something special and there's something different about when God's people gather together inside of the house of God. There's something special about it.
Amen.
And I enjoy it tonight. It thrills my heart. I get an enjoyment when I come and we can hear when the Holy Ghost speaks to an individual's heart and they stand and give the testimony of what God had done in their life, and maybe they begin to shout and begin to clap and begin to just praise the Lord. There's something special about when we can come together and serve and worship and honor God and give Him praise and the glory and honor that He's due inside of the house of God. You know, I'm concerned today and convinced today that there are churches all across this land. A lot of them shut the doors completely simply because of the lack of interest and the lack of faithfulness from their members. Some of them have dwindled down to one service a week. How sad it is that people aren't faithful and people aren't committed to the house of God no longer. You know, I thought about this, and you can agree or disagree. You pray for me tonight, but I thought, you know, I believe that the internet is a great tool when it's used in the right way.
Right.
And I know this tonight. I know that there are some that aren't able to get out, and maybe you're sitting at home tonight on your couch or in your chair or wherever you may be tonight. I know that there's some that aren't able to get out, and I think it's a great thing when they can sit there knowing that they can't get out and make it physically to the house of God. But I'm concerned tonight that it's made a lot of people lazy.
Amen.
I'm convinced of that tonight.
Come on.
Oh boy, we got to be careful. Let's not get lazy on the Lord.
Amen.
Let's not take a shortcut and say, well, I'm going to stay at home tonight. And I'm going to... I would go probably 3 or 4 years before I'd drink a cup of coffee. And I've gotten to where I've been drinking more and more coffee here lately. But I got to thinking about how maybe someone just thought, well, I'm not going to go to church tonight. I'm going to fix me a cup of coffee, and I'm going to sit right here at home. I'm taking a shortcut, if you will. I'm going to skip out on the church. We need, let me just say this. The church may not need me, but I absolutely need the church tonight. I need to, hey, I love gathering around God's people. I love being where God's people are at. I like to get here early, and I like to leave late.
Bless God.
I enjoy church. I get excited when we get to come to church.
Amen.
Miss Sunday morning. Miss Sunday night.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that we can be here tonight. Looking forward to the service tonight. And thank God that He's allowed us to be in this place tonight. Let me just say this. There is no substitute for the house of God.
Amen.
Absolutely no substitute for the house of God. You know, I thought that there is no internet pastor. There is no radio pastor.
Yeah. Amen.
There is no TV pastor.
Amen.
But God has given us a local assembly that we can come together and know that we've got good pastors that will teach and lead us and preach the Word of God and lead us in the right direction. Thank
Amen.
God. Let me just say this. When you're not at Union Valley, we miss you at Union Valley.
Amen.
We miss when, and I take notice, and I know, you know, when we were coming all the time and people had, how many of you had a certain place where you'd sit? You knew that when that place was empty, that they were missed and they were gone.
Yeah.
And then you got to thinking, well, where's so and so? We miss them.
Amen.
When they're not in the house of God. And it's important that we stay faithful to the house of God. And, you know, I know that the day that we live in, that the times and things that we live in today, I know that it's different. I know that it's difficult. And you know what? We may not know what we're going to face tomorrow. May not know what we're going to face next week, but I know this. No matter what this world throws at us, we've still got to be faithful no matter what.
Amen.
We've still got to be faithful to the Lord. And how important it is that we be faithful. Now, I heard about this tonight. I heard that a mother went into the bedroom and she kicked the bed and jerked the blankets off of her son and said, "Get up. You're going to church this morning." And he sat up in that bed and he said, "Would you give me three reasons, or you give me one good reason why I ought to go to church today?" And she said, "Well, first of all," she said, "you're 40 years old, and your mother shouldn't have to come in here and kick your bed and wake you up to go to church."
Right.
And she said, "Not only that," she said, "you call yourself a Christian, and Christians need to be in the house of God."
Bless you, God.
And she said, "For the third thing, you're the pastor, and what am I going to tell the church members that the pastor's still in bed?"
Bless you, God.
What have we gotten ourselves into?
Good.
We need to be faithful to the house of God. How important it is to you, and how important it is to me. And, you know, these Wednesday night services will tell the tale on those that are faithful to God. I believe that. Believe that. We appreciate you tonight and love you tonight. Now, last of all, I want you to notice this. We shouldn't take shortcuts when it comes to salvation. We shouldn't take shortcuts when it comes to being faithful to the house of God. Last, we shouldn't take shortcuts when it comes to winning souls for Christ. You ever think about that? And I believe this tonight. I believe that that's the reason why God has allowed us to stay where we're at. It's the Great Commission. And I believe it's still a commandment. I believe it's still a requirement for the Christian individual to go out here to the highways and the hedges and to compel them to come in. And I would venture to say, you know, I would say this tonight, and you know, as a preacher, as an individual, as a church as a whole, if we were able to go out here and to win the whole world for the Lord, but yet we were to neglect our own family and our closest friends, what have we gained? You think about it, the closest ones to us. And you know, a lot of times and more times than not, those are the ones that it's harder to witness to.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that it's harder to approach for whatever reason. How important it is that we need to make sure that we witness to our family. We need to witness to our neighbors and witness to our closest friends. And you know, I'm convinced today that there's, I'm just going to throw a number out there. If you know, you can let me know. I didn't do my research on this, but I would say there is a great percentage, and I would say above 50% in this area that do not attend a local church faithfully or regularly. I would say that number is well above 50%. I might be way off with that, but that's just what I envision and see in my own mind and know what I know about around here. I believe there's a number above 50% of the people that do not attend a local church regularly. And how I believe that God has commanded you and I to go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in and to teach them about Christ and let them know, my goodness, you think. I want to leave no doubt about it. And know that I've done just exactly what God has intended and asked for me to do. You know, we've got to win them in by love. Love on them. I want to leave you with this. I'm just about done. I don't read where these three men that we read about to you in our hearing tonight in Luke 9:57-62. I don't read where any of these three men caught up with Jesus. I don't read where the one man went back and buried his father and then ended up catching up with Jesus. I don't read where the man went back and said farewell to his family and his friends that were gathered at his home. I don't read about that. Were they caught up with Jesus? But I want you to know tonight that if Jesus is calling right now, we need to go where He leads. There's a song, I believe, that says something like this: where He leads me, I will follow. How important it is. You're not to take a shortcut and, well, I've got to take care of this, but you go one, I'll catch up. That's not going to work. But we've got to forsake all. Jesus said, He said, him that will follow after me, first he's got to deny himself and then pick up his cross and follow after me. That's what Jesus said. And then what did John say? John said, I must decrease, He must increase.